Welcome to Peloton, where change is a six-letter word that starts with you. But don't just be the change you wish to see. Work at it, run at it, lift at it, and even keep at it. With Peloton's all-access membership, you don't ever have to dip out on a workout unless you're squatting. Track your progress, set pace targets, and if you're ready to lift, download the Peloton Strength Plus app.
Okay, this is the fun part.
This is fitness, but personal. So see you on the Peloton tread at onepeloton.com. Find your push, find your power, Peloton.
Save big money and build the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining and more time enjoying your deck with UltraDeck Low Maintenance Composite Decking from Menards. It's easy to install, built to last, and you can get a free estimate fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So let's talk about that study into teacher burnout. We're joined first by Dr. Pia O'Farrell from the School of Policy and Practice at Dublin City University. Pia conducted this research alongside Dr. Sabrina Fitzsimons and Professor Catherine Furlong. Pia, can you tell us, please, some of the most important findings that you've made?
Well, thanks so much. And just to say also, this research was conducted by myself and my two colleagues through CREATE, a centre for research in teacher education and on teacher education in DCU. And I suppose just to start really with some of this, what this research actually looked at, is to say that we were looking at teacher burnout. And we were looking at teacher burnout, whether in primary and primary and post-primary level. And we use this measure, which is a Copenhagen burnout inventory. And what, just kind of to explain what that looks like, when you complete this measure, you come across, you have your score is categorized into three levels. So if I completed it, I'd end up with a score in the mild, moderate, or high level. And why that's important, and I'll just explain that now, is that we see that teachers who come out, you know, in the mild level, or typically with a lower end or a mild score, are generally flourishing. But what we know is that if you're coming out on the moderate burnout, this indicates that you're somebody who's experiencing significant stress levels, and that this will negatively impact the classroom and their day-to-day life. And what our study found was that 86% of teachers reported moderate to high levels of personal burnout, and a similar figure for work-related burnout. So this is really high and really concerning. And that what we were really taken back by was that actually these demographic factors, such as, you know, are how long a teacher has been teaching, whether they're somebody who's taught for a year or for 20 years, it didn't matter. These teachers were still presenting. This burnout was across the board.
Pia, can you explain to me what you mean by burnout?
Now, when we talk about burnout, we're talking about the World Health Organization recognizes burnout as an occupational-related phenomenon. That where we're talking about a prolonged and unmanaged workplace stress, that the key features really matter, looking at like emotional exhaustion, depersonalization, reduced, you know, personal accomplishment. So you can see there are like a host of factors coming to shape how a person is feeling and how burnt out they are.
And is that measured against other professions, such as nurses and doctors or Gardaí or office workers or anybody? I mean, is this something that's unique to teachers?
This Copenhagen burnout inventory can be used across in a variety of settings. However, you know, this research looked specifically at teachers. And, you know, why we were interested in looking at that is that we're keen to see what's it like on the ground for teachers. And what actually came up from this research was that actually what's driving burnout was not that these age or how long you've been teaching, whether you're 20 years experience or whatever else, but it was actually these systemic and organisational factors, such as parental expectations, workload, challenges in working with pupils with special education needs, the school culture, and that this for us was really interesting because we know that happy children learn, and we know that we need to make sure that, you know, in terms of the environment, that we have teachers that are that we know that this will impact teaching and learning if teachers are in there and they're burnt out. And, you know, that the kind of results, I suppose, in that sense speak for itself. And I suppose we also, Matt, have another kind of key finding, which is quite worrying, that 42% of our participants responded to the survey and indicated that they are unlikely to remain in the profession, which is huge.
And what would they do instead?
And again, we have gained like some kind of information from teachers on that. And they've outlined, some of them are staying in a kind of a caring role. They're moving into maybe looking at counselling or looking at the kind of play therapy. And others are planning to move into completely different areas, you know, IT, that this piece on leaving the profession. And this is really worrying because in Ireland, teaching is a high status and attractive profession. And we continually have significant numbers applying for our teacher education programs, you know, in DCU and the IOE, and this is, and we are, you know, we're seriously concerned that that teaching is in danger as a profession.
They may be saying that they're going to leave. How many are leaving, though?
Well, that's, you know, our results are saying that actually 42% of participants are responding by saying they're indicating that they're likely to leave the profession.
Yeah, but I wonder how many actually do that. They say it. How many actually follow through on it?
Well, what we know from the research on the Department of Education is that actually, in terms of trends, that the number is growing. And we know what we know from what's taking place in the actual classroom is we know that retention of teachers is an issue. So this, I suppose, this is, and when you look at the research, in some ways, Matt, it's you, and hear from the participants on what's coming up in, you can understand why they're burnt out. And something that like struck us particularly from the research was the level of violence that some teachers experienced. Hitting, kicking, spitting, verbal aggression. And this is really worrying. And this wasn't just in primary, it was primary and post-primary level. And this is kind of contributing to that emotional exhaustion that teachers are experiencing. And if that's happening on a regular day-to-day basis, you can imagine that a teacher is regularly in that state, going to be in that state of fight or flight. And that state of anxiety is not good physically and emotionally.
Okay, I want to bring in Jennifer Horgan, who's a regular contributor to The Last Word, columnist with the Irish Examiner and a secondary school teacher. What do you make of this report?
Well, Matt, I think I've been kind of talking about this for a number of years now. You'd be sick of me, but the word there that really stuck out for me was emotional exhaustion and unmanaged. That word for me is really important because I'm on a career break. I think I said that to you before. And one of the reasons is I just felt I needed a break. And I've also gone from full-time to part-time for the same reason. Why do counsellors have supervision? You know, why do they need someone to be able to speak to? They need it because they're in a very caring role and carers need to be cared for. You know, we need to keep ourselves topped up. That's not happening. So teachers don't have any emotional support, along with situations where they're not getting adequate services, they're not in adequate buildings, they don't have enough resources, they don't have enough support staff. So, you know, just like Pia was saying there, if you're in that situation day in, day out, you enter, you know, flight or fight, and it is absolutely exhausting. And I think one of the issues with teachers in particular is that the general public switches off because the holiday thing comes into it. Oh, should they get enough holidays?
I haven't raised that, Jennifer. Can I just make it quite clear that you brought that up, not me?
I know, and I did, because it's the elephant in the room, Matt. Everyone's thinking it. They get such long holidays. Why don't they stop complaining? And it's a complete misconception because I see teachers like struggling to the finish line thinking, well, at least I have the holidays. But that's no way to live. Like, you shouldn't be in that situation for months on end just to get to those few months where you can breathe again. So I've said before, I'd much rather a shorter holiday and, you know, like a little bit more flexibility during the year. I think that would be a good thing. But to give you an example, my husband is a primary school teacher. This week, he was at a board meeting on Monday. He's been at the school play for the last three nights from 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock. They don't get any non-contact hours when they're in school. So everything he does in terms of planning, assessment, preparation happens outside of school. So people have an idea that, oh, teachers only work from 8:30 to 2:30 and then they're out the gap. if they're teaching to any kind of a level, that's not happening. It's an extremely high pressure job. It's under-resourced, it's underfunded, and ultimately people need to listen, because if they're not interested in teachers, they're surely interested in the kids in the room.
Jennifer, how has the job changed in the last decade, or even going back a little bit more? Are there more demands on teachers, more expectations, both from parents and also from the Department of Education, the system?
I think so. You know, I mean, I think there's definitely a shift in parents' attitudes as to how much teachers should be doing. And I think there's kind of an outsourcing of parenting, if I'm honest. We have an issue with mobile phones. We have an issue with what's going on online. And a lot of the time we look to schools to solve it. Okay, mobile phone ban, that's a really good thing. That's going to solve it. It's not going to solve it. It's what's happening up in kids' bedrooms. That's the problem. Similar with things like road safety. We see people dying on the roads. We insist that schools run a TY program on safe driving. You know, people give out that kids don't learn to cook. They don't learn to do their taxes. You know, basic things of living. The kind of the line is being blurred between what a parent does and what a school and what a teacher should do. And you've also, of course, then got children, so many children with needs who are coming in with diagnoses, who need extra supports. And you simply don't have access to those supports as a teacher. So you can be in a classroom, even with maybe one S&A, but you know you need about four other individuals maybe to really look after the children and to make sure that they're really accessing education. And it feels really bad going home at the end of the day when you know you're in a classroom and there was two or three kids there who you just couldn't get to. You know, it's just you go home feeling guilty rather than good about what you're doing and how you're spending your life. And teaching is a caring profession, so people go into it to look after people. And if they feel like that's not happening, they carry that home with them.
Well, you see, you say that about people going into the profession for that reason. I have a listener here who's just texted, and I've got two daughters studying to become teachers. From listening to this, I think I'll try and get them to work in a different industry. What do you think to that?
I just think that's really sad. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? So, like, we have to listen to what teachers are saying. 86% of teachers are saying there's an issue. There's also, as I said to you before, Matt, there's a huge issue with children not coming to school. Why are kids not coming to school? Like, there's a reason. There's something wrong with the system.
Exactly.
And Pia.
Jennifer highlighted this, and it's really stuck out to me that the caring role, teachers are in this caring role, and this needs to be, and they need to be supported. And we know that kind of like that old saying, you know, on a flight, you put on your mask before you put on a child, your child's mask. And we need to think of that when we think of teachers, that they need to be supported. And what we're seeing from this research is it's not an individual issue. These are systemic issues that are coming up. School culture, you know, that we're not, how much are we minding the well-being and prioritising the well-being and valuing the well-being of our teachers? And this, and again, Jennifer mentioned this, the number of students where you might feel, oh, I didn't get to today. And that's really reflected in this research where we see around special education needs and supports and the challenges that teachers find, that this emerged as one of the key reasons for burnout. And when you look at the numbers, 1 in 5 school-going age children have special education needs. So if you think of in a class of 30, that might be 6 students that a teacher has to with complex needs, and it's really sad. And Jennifer mentioned this, and it is really sad because for some of these teachers, they will have and parents, and you know, and we have to look at the child as well in this front and center, that they will not have access to these services during the year. And you might have it start with the class in September, and you might have concerns about a child and all the way on till June, and that child leaves your class still having not received access, not even the service yet, but access to that service. And they range from psychological services, occupational therapists, speech and language therapists, and then that's left, you know, as Jennifer really said there, that's left with the teacher. And that we know from the research that people kind of do look to the schools for support. and then that's left with the teacher, and that leaves the teacher, you know, in a tricky position here, because they're trying to support students, you know, which under, you know, under resourced, and they're trying to do, I suppose, that best for the students in their class.
Okay, Jennifer, there's lots of teachers texting in support for you, delighted with you for expressing their experiences. Killian says, Kilkenny, I'm a teacher for many years and I can tell you it's become much more difficult in recent years. I know many people working mostly or almost entirely from home the last while. Teaching is a much harder, more stressful role than those working from home in every way experience. But there are lots of people, Jennifer, giving examples of their jobs, be it farming, working as a nurse, different things, saying that this is what they have to live with as well. And some people saying that this, unfortunately, just is the way life is. So what would you say to them?
Yeah, and I don't think it's, I don't like kind of competing with other professions. I think, and I, you know, like as you said, what about nurses, doctors? I'm pretty sure if you polled anyone in a caring role, you're going to get similar results. I don't think that as a, and it's not just Ireland, this is a global, you know, certainly Western world issue. We don't care for our carers. It's just, it's something we've somehow lost in the progress of things. So I think that, yeah, definitely on anything that's caring. Farming is an interesting one. I suppose you're working with the land. I can imagine that's kind of grueling. And look, every profession has its challenges. I think that teachers are resilient. They realize that they're not looking for, you wouldn't, it's not a kind of a job that's an easy way out, you know, it's a challenging job. But I think there comes a point when you realize, like, my job shouldn't be threatening my mental health and my well-being. Like, I don't think that shouldn't be the case for any profession. And I would hate for us to get to a point where we just said, well, that's life.
Jennifer Horgan, thank you very much. Irish Examiner columnist as well as secondary school teacher on Career Break, and Dr. P.O. Farrell from the School of Policy and Practice in Dublin City University.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Welcome to Peloton, where change is a six-letter word that starts with you. But don't just be the change you wish to see. Work at it, run at it, lift at it, and even keep at it. With Peloton's all-access membership, you don't ever have to dip out on a workout, unless you're squatting. Track your progress, set pace targets, and if you're ready to lift, download the Peloton Strength Plus app.
Okay, this is the fun part.
This is fitness, but personal. So see you on the Peloton tread at onepeloton.com. Find your push, find your power, Peloton.